Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. Still dealing with that electrical cord on the mic that Tom's going to come and fix for me, huh, Tom? We need you, Tom. I need your help, my friend. Need your help. Tom's been fantastic. I've been doing this for a while now. And what a good guy. What a great guy. What a godly man. What a neat, you know, a man who's committed his life. I guess I'm doing an ode right now to Tom Reed. For those of you who don't know him, he owns the American Christian Network and obviously loves Jesus, loves the Lord. He's been doing this a while, like a long time. He's got that perfectly, you know, this is Tom Reed, the perfect quintessential radio voice. He's very committed, you know, he's a businessman, hard to get a hold of, but he's, you know, he keeps that station running, there's no doubt. And I just wanted to thank Tom for providing such an incredible resource for us. What a beautiful resource. The American Christian Network, it's special, isn't it? I mean, how many places in the U.S. have a place quite like that, or a place, a radio station, whatever, quite like this? I don't think there's a whole heck of a lot. So thank you, Tom, for your time, energy, and effort. I know Tom has taken the time to come and help me. I know that the hardest part is he often wants to be here when I'm here, and a lot of our technical people figure out they can't. But, you know, what I don't get is this cord just keeps going bad every single darn time. It just sits there and it decides to go bad all by itself, doesn't get touched, doesn't get moved. Anyway, I just want to thank Tom. Thank you, Tom. I'm serious. I you know, Tom doesn't know, but clear back in the early 90s, I was in banking. I was a regional manager. And, you know, as a favor, they kept expanding my territory, whatever. You know, just not a favor. Family destruction. Which, as a side note, something I really want to discuss with you men. Men, stop guilt tripping yourself about not being with your kids, okay? That's the devil. The father's job is to provide. Why in the world, in all honesty, why in the world do you think that God gave you two and three in counting him, okay? Now, that might be a lot of the biggest struggle that the biggest time that people go through these struggles is when their kids are really, really young. There's that special, special time. They're so sweet and they just want to be with them. And I am just telling you, sorry for the paper there, don't be ashamed. Don't let anybody guilt trip you. If you are providing for your family, God bless you. If you're out there living on welfare or unemployment, you know, I won't say, but I'll tell you, would Jesus Christ quit a job intentionally to get unemployment? No. I've been through it with people that literally will try to set up scenarios so they can collect unemployment, you know, they'll say to go to school or whatever. That is not the heart of God. The heart of God is that a man works and a woman, you know what? I heard it. I just heard the loud bell of the world. Bing! Sexism. I am being sexist. Oh my gosh. I am so sorry. It is so bad. It's sexism. And What's crazy is I have people I know that can spew this stuff or speak it. I guess sounds better than spewing it. And then they'll go live it. And I watch this and they have no conscience. And they have to live their life. And, you know, I know a guy who just had a business opportunity that was pretty amazing. And he just wants his degree. Degree, PhD, you know, 10 years of this. And he's had, you know, he spent years, he was going to be in the military special ops and trained for, you know, a bunch of time and got a compliment from some colonel and decided that, you know, it motivated him. And I don't, you know, and then it was a professional musician and then it was a writer. And it's all these things when God just tells you strictly to do everything as unto the Lord. It's about hard work, integrity, financial integrity, and that really, in a nutshell, is what it's about. God wants us to work hard. He wants us to, that's how we glorify him. That is what the Bible says about work. That's what Ecclesiastes says. Now, do you respect Ecclesiastes? I love it. Why? Because there was this guy named Solomon. And he was the wisest man that ever lived. And he, you know, in 1 Kings, he was, I think it's 1 Kings, he, you know, I don't, you know, let me see if I can figure out why. Why did God owe Solomon what he gave him? That's a good question. But I let's see here. It is in, for, it's of course 1 Kings 1 through 11, which is not exactly short, but let's see if we can find out what exactly Solomon did God a favor. Can you imagine? You do God a favor and he pays you back? Wow. That's crazy. And what's interesting with Solomon is that he actually went on, you know, he got all this wisdom and all this wealth, and God gave him everything. God gave him the world. Why did God do it? It's obvious. I mean, in my opinion, why not? Okay? God gave us, you and me, the example of being a lottery winner. What does that look like? How does it feel? What are the benefits? What does Solomon say? Vanity of vanities, he tells us over and over and over again, right? He tells us that it's, you know, not good. So we've got a lot of different questions, I guess, that get raised is why did God do what he did for Solomon? And I think just like a lot of what God did is so that you and I could learn from the Bible. The point of the Bible is so that we can learn things without having to do them ourselves. And you know what's crazy with humans? It doesn't matter if God gives us that wisdom anyway. We still gotta go be fools, right? Because that's what we do. Yeah, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? It makes you wonder. It's a human nature. We have to go do it ourselves. Think about if you think about this logic, okay, the logic A says, what if What if there was a book or an accumulation of wisdom that just built and built and built and built over time, so that as one generation passed and another came, this wisdom remained behind for the next generation? Well, that book already exists. That book's called the Bible. There's a problem with it, though. What is the problem? The problem is people don't want to hear it. Because to live a good, pure, clean, holy life, you have to obey precepts and principles and commandments. You have to live in purity. And folks, you know, Mr. Side Note here, God wants to be with you in your struggles. Please understand that. God knows that you are going through struggles. Now, we can go to the extreme sickness. I'll tell you, back in 1990, whatever it was, I was with the bank. And Tom Reed, like I said, the American Christian Network, he had these speakers. And I don't remember who he had. He had this black guy that was just fire. I mean, fire. This guy spoke, and everybody's head went down. No one could look him in the eye. For some reason, I did, and he made some comments to me later that were very complimentary about my heart, and then he prophesied over me, which I'd never had done before, and he said, look, here's the deal. If you want me to prophesy over you, get in line. I will put my hand on your chest. The Holy Spirit will speak through me, and I don't know you from Adam. And he said, when I get done, do not come to me and ask me what I said. Don't ask me anything about it, because he says, I won't remember any of it, because it literally is coming from the Holy Spirit. If you had heard this guy speak, oh my gosh, and he was from Chicago, and he ran a ministry, and he was a big, powerful boy, and he had stories of spiritual attack. He was in the heart of the city trying to rescue prostitutes from pimps. And you know, I guess you don't take a pimp's girl. And so one time, four of these guys showed up in his office because two and one weren't enough. And they were there to kill him. And they had guns and chains and everything ready to go. And he spoke in the name of Jesus Christ by the blood of the Lamb shed on the cross. And he doesn't know what he said, but it just spewed out. And he said these men were literally removed physically, like to where they were being dragged out on their heels, like someone had grabbed the back of their collar and pulled them out. And he had absolutely... Oh, he loved the Lord, and he was on fire. So he was able to prophesy. And here's something real interesting. I'm going to try to get through this real quick because I'm not known for doing that. He would, when he would prophesy, like I said he didn't have any clue who he was talking to or what he was talking about or anything like that. He told you, don't ask. He couldn't tell you. And, so he's going through this line, right? And I'm there with my friend who's, I find out later, got a little thing going with a girl. He's got some issues going in his life. He's a doctor, and he is having some stuff going on. And I don't know about any of it. And I wish I did, because he's such a good friend. And so people are lining up. This guy's prophesying over him. All of a sudden, this guy puts his hand on one of the patron's chests, and this prophet flips out, just starts ripping this guy, laying into him like you've never seen, talking about bodies in the yard, under the window, stuff under the beds, and just, I don't even remember what it was. Just vicious, angry, destructive, rebuke, scorn, beyond anything. I had ever heard. Now, at the time is when I, you know, I spent hours and hours of my life in martial arts. I spent every free waking moment of my life studying and practicing martial arts. Was that a good use of my time? Probably not. But I was at, you know, the secondary black belt level, and you know, I was ready to go, and I'd had boxing experience. I was very skilled, and for those of you who don't know me, I'm about 6'2", 6'3", but I have a 7-foot, a verifiable 7-foot arm reach and 37-inch legs, which came in handy when I was in martial arts and competitive martial arts because I had such a long reach. And I told my friend behind me, I said, if he does that to me, I said, I am going to deck him. I was literally ready to absolutely just jack him, knock him out cold. Now, that's as far as from the Holy Spirit as you can get, right? Just sad, right? But I thought, okay, if this guy's doing this, and he's doing it in the name of the Holy Spirit, maybe he's full of malarkey. Well, what happens is I get up there, I'm shaking, I'm like, ready, worried. He puts his hand on my chest, and he says to me, now, remember, before me, he's touching people's chests, and he's saying things to them that mean nothing to you or me, that could never mean anything to either of us. And he's saying, God, you know, so he puts his hand on my chest, and I was going through this, I was going through a very difficult time trying to find God. I'd become a believer. My real belief acceptance was in college when I was 18-ish or whatever. And, you know, a minute I became a believer, I remembered that I'd accepted him in third grade. But before that, I didn't know. I just knew I was separated from the Lord. I knew I was separated from a spiritual entity, thank God, that Jesus sent Glenn Hogan, a very good friend of mine, to my door knocking one night. Within days of a prayer, I was going to take my life. I'd been through the ringer and back. Parents had abandoned me, and you know, and friends had, and I really had nowhere to turn, no friends, no nothing. And I knelt on my roommate's bed, and it was the shortest prayer. I just knelt down, and I said, God, if you are even real, this is when I became a believer, please show me. And then I got up, and that was it, and I forgot. Well, within a day or two, here's a guy at my door knocking on the door, sharing the bridge illustration. I'm like, yep, that's me. I know my works aren't going to get me to heaven, so tell me what I need to do. And he's like, let me finish, because he was working on his PhD in engineering, and engineers are very stringent personality. And I said, what do I need to do? He goes, he says, you need to pray to receive Christ. I said, good, I'll do it. He said, you want to do it with me? I said, what? He said, let's pray. I said, what? You want me? Now, I was a macho Montana redneck, you know, flannel shirt wearing sweatpant, you know, redneck, just redneck. Baseball cap, backwards, the whole nine, and a street fighter to boot. And I said, no, I'm not praying with you. To me, that was like holding hands and sharing palms with a guy. It just, to me, it was the craziest thing. He couldn't believe it either. So he said, well, then I guess you'll pray on your own. I said, yeah, I guess I will. So he left that night, came back the next day to verify I prayed. I said, yes, I did. He was like, are you sure? I said, I'm very sure. I felt an immediate transition in my life. Immediate, okay? I knew God had entered my life. And then I was one of these guys that didn't get that revolutionary or revelationary transformation. And I you know, there's people, and I envy it. I hate that God didn't make me that way. But when I became a believer, I wasn't instantly cleansed. I wanted to be instantly cleansed of sin, but I wasn't, which is a bummer, because it would have been nice to just have, boof, all the sin gone, no longer have to deal with it. There's people that will have drug addictions that are insurmountable, extraordinary levels of opiates and heroin and cocaine or crack or meth or whatever it is. They'll have these things and they've tried and tried to kick and they can't kick, and then boom, the minute they accept Christ, cleansing takes place and they're done. Well, I didn't get that luxury, so I had to go back to the trough. I had to go back to the mud puddle as a dog returns to his vomit. I had to go do that. I had to get back in, do a little bit of sin, try to go drink and hang out with my old buds. Well, guess what? Now that I had the Holy Spirit, it was no fun. I felt guilty. I didn't belong there. And what was worse was I loved Jesus so much, I wanted to stay home in my dorm rooms in college and just read the Bible. It just fed me. It was like having a fire hose hooked to my, you know, my mouth, filled with nutrition that I'd never gotten. And all of a sudden now I was getting fed this nutrition from God by his word, and that's where I wanted to be. But I had to give it a shot. So, long story short, I was not one of these miraculous conversions that turns overnight. As much as I wish I could tell you I was not. And so, I had to go back through this and back through that and do this and do that and do, you know, stupid things and things, you know what I'm saying, things I shouldn't have done, but I had to return to my vomit, as the Bible says. And then over time, I struggled. I'm like, how do I quit doing this? And I would talk to people, oh, you got to just live by the Holy Spirit. I'm like, great. How do you do that? Well, you just let the Holy Spirit guide you. Well, how in the world do you do that? I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know. And so I did all this study on David and you know, I wanted to know, how did David become God's favorite man? The reason was because some say, oh, he was a fantastic repenter. Others say no. It was because of his love for God. And, you know, whatever it was, he loved God. So, here's the deal. Back in the 90s, I went to this thing. This guy's prophesying over people. He's putting his hand on their chest, and he lets this guy have it. Just lets him have it. I mean, lets him have it. Like, you've never heard. I was, like, terrified that he was going to do it to me. He was a serial killer. He killed like 13 people is what it turned out. I guess I just gave away the secret. So here's the deal. He puts his hand on my chest and he says to me, God thanks you for your heart. It was the shortest, it was the single shortest prophecy I'd ever heard from this guy. And that was it. And you know, it said everything to me because I was trying so hard to find God. And I wanted him to have my heart. I loved him. But that's all I could do is love God. I wasn't perfect at all. I wasn't one of these. I used to get, you know, I'd see these people that I thought were super holy and super righteous and riding their bike, pastors riding their bikes to church and, you know, on and on. And it just, it turned out that's not what God wanted me to be. All right? Which is okay, right? I mean, it isn't. God made us all different for a reason. The most miserable people in the world want what? They want everybody else to be just like them. Have you ever wondered why that is? The miserable people are the critical people. The critical people are the ones that want you to be like them. And why in the world would I look at someone who's miserable and say, boy, I'd sure like to be like them? No, it's sheer, utter, complete, and total foolishness. We don't want to be. We want to be like those that love God, serve the Lord, etc. So I've had this wonderful benefit of struggling with sin, you know, throughout my life. Now, I just want to clarify, there are certain kinds of sins and there's other kinds of sins, and the sins that I struggle with are, you know, maybe the sins of the flesh, I don't know what you call them, but, you know, profanity or I grew up, you know, redneck Montana, just speaking, you know, vulgar stuff and talking in ways that men, that God never intended us to speak. Jesus said, it's not what a man puts into his mouth that defiles him, but what comes out of a man's mouth that defiles him. And so I struggled with that. I struggled with partying and fighting and, you know, and being crazy and causing scenes. Even in college, I was a class clown goof off, you know. I can't quite explain why, but I just was. So it turned out that once that guy touched my heart and said, God loves your heart, it just answered all my questions. It made it clear that God wants my heart. God doesn't want my actions. Now, my actions are going to be a byproduct of my heart, and what comes out of my mouth is a reflection of what's in my heart. So you can also, like the Bible, you know, when the Bible tells us what comes out of a man's heart, what defiles him, you can also talk filth and totally ruin your life and separate yourself from God. And I didn't want to do that. And then the Bible talks about the only unforgivable sin is to blaspheme the Spirit, which is a topic for another day, because it's really hard to comprehend that somebody could actually reject God. I mean, think of that. Somebody can reject God after knowing Jesus as his Savior. Some of the listeners out there, the vast majority, are firm, born-again believers. They love Jesus, but that's where it ends. Their work ethic is weak. They don't do everything, you know, as unto the Lord. They do it as unto themselves. And so, anyway, I'll just keep it there. I didn't get the easy ride. I had to take the long road and learn a lot. And I've always had to take the long, hard road, and that's okay, because God put me on a really cool journey. Someday I want to document it, because I've been through stuff that no one else has. I've been to places, you know, people haven't seen. I've gotten to, you know, hang out on a private island, string of islands with the Crown Prince, just my wife and I, and the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia and his new wife. I know people always joke because he's Muslim. Oh, he only has one wife. Apparently they're monotheistic. That's one good thing about them. But, you know, I've just had some pretty good situations like that. So, anyway, I'll leave it at that. I just didn't get to do that. And I, you know, you got to be really wise. I mean, we've got stewardship to God for everything he gives us. One thing that we've got to understand, well, okay. So real quick, God put his hand, this guy, this prophet put his hand on my chest and said, God, thanks you for your heart. So I was in shock at this guy who had just got ripped by this prophet, just ripped. I mean, folks, if you'd have saw this, you'd have been like, wow. My friend behind me said, that's it, I'm sitting down, you know. And a whole bunch of men went and sat down because they didn't know where this was coming from. Well, just a day or two later, Robert Yates, the local serial killer back in 98-ish, from 96 to 98, was killing prostitutes. He ended up getting busted, and I said to my wife, that's the guy. And she's like, what guy? And I'm like, that's the guy that got chewed out by the prophet. And she's like, really? You know, she's never been too impressed with, you know, some of my stuff. But anyway, I'm like, yeah, that's him, that's him. And then all of a sudden it made sense. Then when I read about him later in the paper, they said that he grew up in a Christian home, and he tended to frequent these traveling Christian situations or whatever you want to call them. And he frequented the churches that came through. And a lot of it was just non-personal. So I was shown immediately that when God spoke through this guy he let it hang out, he was speaking to Robert Yates. Why would Robert Yates be at a Christian function? Like I said, they said over and over that he tended to go to these Christian functions all the time. That he would show up, you know, why? I mean, I don't know, but he did. And he, maybe to avoid church, he grew up in a Christian home, but, you know, whatever. So that's how that story went down there, that I thought was pretty profound, to be honest with you. So let's talk a little, man, there's so much stuff going on, isn't there? Now, let's just rejoice that they finally, got Trump exonerated. A friend of mine's downstairs picking up a beautiful ring. Gosh darn it, I wish I was there to, I'm on until I gotta text him. Sorry. That's really a bummer because I wanted to be there when he picked it up. It's so beautiful. But anyway, what a bummer. What a bummer, 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 bummer. But anyway, good friend of mine, president of, I won't say, because then his wife will know that she's getting a 2.5-carat diamond on a beautiful setting. And we gave him a deal. I mean, just a, oh, you wouldn't even believe the deal they got. Just, like I said, we sell stuff cheap, and it's, I'll just put it this way. I don't know quite how to put it, but you know, they're getting about a $30,000 setting for $10,000, a 2.5-carat center stone round, and a brand new beautiful ring for around $10,000 or $12,000. Just way too inexpensive, but a good friend, and I take care of my friends and customers. Okay, so let's just kind of rattle through money stuff. I am getting so many questions from so many people about financial stuff. People are so confused right now, folks. They are so frustrated. And I don't blame them. They're like, Kevin, where do I go to make money? You know, help me make money. And I'm like, the first thing you need to do is preserve your capital. Preserve your wealth and capital. That is your first and foremost priority. Do not try to get rich. You know, don't chase a fantasy for money. You know, there's the gold's international monetary value. Gold was overvalued until, you know, the 90s, and then it was undervalued, and it's undervalued now. And Lorimer Wilson noted the Wall Street economist and financial market analysis quoted, quote, I have come out of retirement for this one off once only. Speak to warn that the good ship, life as we know it, is sinking. He says, you have the choice of getting into a lifeboat now or going down with the ship. Folks, listen to me. He says you have a choice of getting into a lifeboat now or going down with the ship. The lifeboat consists of precious metals and other precious metals-based assets that will survive the coming currency destruction. Folks, our money is on a runaway train to disaster. Our deficit is what? It's blown past $22 trillion. We've got over $1 million in debt for every man, woman, and child. We have overdone it. It's overspent. We're blowing money like crazy on warfare. Of course, welfare. Donald Trump is being vilified by the media and the academia, but it's not justified by anything meaningful. It's just because they don't like him or his views. They especially don't like the fact that he got in without anybody else's help. So there's what they call the Moses principle. If God was powerful enough to send numerous plagues to devastate the Egyptian economy until Pharaoh allowed the Israelites to leave Egypt, later God caused the Red Sea to part so the Israelites crossed on a dry seabed. When the pursuing Egyptian army and their chariots were in the seabed, the waters crashed back and drowned them. If God was powerful enough to do all those things, okay, and he was, why not allow the Israelites to go straight to the promised land? Why did Moses spend 40 years traversing the barren desert before leading the Israelites to the promised land? The theory, every Israelite over middle age when they left Egypt probably died in the next ensuing 40 years. The younger people were raised or born in the desert, so after 40 years of this life experience, they were truly prepared to recognize and appreciate a land flowing with milk and honey. A total generational change had taken place. A total generational change had taken place by a generational swap out. We just passed, I mean, I don't remember what we are near passing, or we're very close. Whatever. We're about 50 years from the abandonment of the gold standard under Nixon, when precious metals were also deregulated. Our federal government formed the Federal Department of Education in 1979. Coincidental timing? Not so. In which that put the government in control of our children's thought processes and philosophies. Right? Which is also necessary for this drastic paradigm shift to take hold. Well, now we're generations later, right? We have an entire generation who has lived under this new system of the full monetary system being turned over to a private corporate entity who prints and produces IOU nothings, okay? Your Federal Reserve banknote is an IOU nothing. Your stock is an IOU nothing. Your 401k is an IOU nothing. Folks, if you want to collect on it now, you're fine. The minute anybody blinks, it's over. You have a bunch of IOU nothings. Please understand, that's where your money is. I couldn't even count. Men are to lead the family. Men are to work. They are to provide. Women should probably be pretty good with the money, but men should too. Okay, well, one of the problems is I run into a lot of these guys who are like, look, man, I'm all in, but my wife, you got to convince her. It's like, well, first of all, she should listen to the radio show. Secondly, all she's got to do is a little bit of research. I mean, study the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve, are you serious? Yeah, I'm serious. It is an absolute chaotic disaster nightmare. You have got to realize that the Federal Reserve is nothing more than a private entity that has taken the constitutional responsibility from our Congress, which was demanded and commanded in our Constitution and in the U.S. Coinage Act of 1792. They've taken it and they've turned it into toilet paper. They pump it out like it's going out of style. We're at a point now, they can't stop. They can't stop. Understand that, okay? So, you know, we like I said, we just passed that. And then, so you got all these IOU nothings perpetuating runaway inflation. Why? Because they can make all they want. It's exponential money creation in unlimited quantities. Then they create a fractional reserve banking system where they can loan out, you know, 10 times what they have on deposit. Seriously? Yes, seriously. And hyper expansion of credit and debt like never before in the history of the world. Sure, we had the 2008 retraction, you know, The Big Short, they call the movie, which I would recommend watching if you want to see kind of what happened there. But you also have to watch a movie called 99 Homes. If you want to see both sides of it, watch the movie 99 Homes. Write this down, 99 Homes. And then these are major Hollywood productions. And then watch The Big Short, okay? And you will understand, I think, a lot better what was going on. This was just a piece of the action. And so you've got this monetary system that's been turned over to a private entity. They print these IOU nothings. We've got hyper expansion of credit and debt like never before. We have endured under absolute lies, deception, and corruption from our government. I mean, the media and school system, along with a governmental information system that perpetuates pure socialistic and progressive views. So do you understand that our school system is absolutely perpetuating socialism and progressivism at a pace that is unbelievable? They want kids in school early, early, early. The earlier, the better. Christian parents, I hear them all the time. Oh, we put little Johnny in preschool in four years old because we think it's good for him. We think it's really good to get the social interaction. What do you really think they gain from the social interaction? What does a four-year-old get from his eight-year-old brother who gets it from his 12-year-old brother who may, you know, in other words, what does a four-year-old get from his or the neighborhood eight-year-old boy? What does the neighborhood eight-year-old boy get from a neighborhood 12-year-old boy or brother? What does the 12-year-old get from the 14-year-old? They get a ton of information that I was exposed to as a child at a different pace, but they are stimulating sinful behavior. And we've got to be aware that this is, that we are enduring, our academia and media is perpetuating heavy duty socialism. Now, remember, socialism becomes communism. Do not be fooled. The left wing will try to tell you there's democratic socialism. No, not true. Socialism always becomes communism. They have to. Why? Because people aren't going to just give up all their money. They're not going to go work and then just hand it all over to the government and have the government say, oh, by the way, like Fidel Castro did to a friend of mine's grandfather, who was a master cigar maker in one of the countries most well known for their cigars. He had put all of his money into house after house after house for rental purposes. And he came to this friend of mine's, I think, uncle or grandpa, who was a medical professional, which didn't matter. But they said, pick a house. He said, what do you mean? They said, pick a house. This is going to be the only house you get to keep. Luckily, he'd put a bunch of the houses in other relatives' names, so they got to keep a few extra. But the government took them all. The government took over the tobacco-growing operation. They rotted the tobacco. They destroyed the cigars. They ruined everything. Why? Because that's what socialism, a.k.a. Marxism, a.k.a. communism, does. Okay. Socialism leads into communism. Okay. It's socialism is the second to last stage of the evolution of economic systems, according to Karl Marx. And now this is just something I'm reading. It's probably rubbish. In socialism, all property belongs to the state. Everything, factories, coffee shops, schools, massage parlors, dressmakers, newspapers, movie companies, they're all owned and run by the government. The last stage is communism, where the state itself disappears and all property is held in common. Now, what is unique about this? Well, for you to give up your stuff, someone needs to stick a gun in your face. They need to kill you. They need to make an example of you. I'm always baffled how these evil, evil people build these armies of destroyers. Along those same lines, I'm always curious why the bad guys always end up coming out ahead. Anyway, so we'll just keep on plugging down this write-up I've got here. So we have endured under, let me get back to where I was. We've endured under absolute lies, deception, and corruption from our government. Our media and school system, along with the governmental information system, perpetuates pure socialism and progressive views. They've replaced morality and character with godlessness and human secularism. Okay? Human secularism. It's God or man. That's the difference you've got to understand. Right now, we're at full throttle. You know, I have a boat, and you can push that throttle all the way down. That's what I picture. Pedal to the metal. And this is the pace and the pressure that they're using to accomplish it. The timing of the 1971 abandonment of the gold standard was a time that was ordained with godlessness, and, or I'm sorry, for a purpose many years earlier. It was approximately 40 years after the great stock market crash and eventual gold confiscation under FDR, so that generation that still clung to faith in gold, which did exist, despite their own government tampering with its ownership, would have to be purged from economic influence whatsoever. In other words, they were taking away your wealth, your strength, your power. Money makes the world go round. Solomon says money is the answer to everything. As believers, we don't want, you know, we know the love of money is the root of all evil. We don't want money to be our God, but at the same time, a lack of it leaves you utterly powerless. And it's critical to understand that financial benefits that God gives you, okay, that you have accountability for the financial benefits that he gives you. So like I said, so 40 years after the crash, these people that still clung to gold, despite their government tampering with its ownership, they'd have to be purged from economic influence. So there's very few people alive today, virtually none that I know of, but if they are, they're so old, they don't recall. I am familiar with one old gentleman who listened to the radio show for quite a while, who was basically forced to focus on money, you know, and the lack of it, and give it up. A man of tremendous wealth was forced to have it confiscated through socialism, aka communism, because the guns eventually have to come out. So there's very few people alive today. We know that the what I used to call the Depression era babies, they're gone. You know, they saw it in the 40s. So even if they were in their 20s or 30s in the 40s, it's just over. They're gone. And in the 90s, they were still around, and we had them understanding it. So we're sitting in a position right now where we know for a fact that we can and will serve God when, where, and how he tells us to do so. So the new Moses generation, so very few people alive today and active in the economic system have ever been exposed to or even have any clue what real money is. The new Moses generation will have to relearn what real money is, and they do seem to be catching on. This new generation needs to be educated on monetary history and biblical principles before the world can hope to re-enter a new era of sound monetary policy. Sound monetary policy. We're going to have an economic collapse, okay? It's coming. Guaranteed. And we've got to be re-educated. Unfortunately, old habits die hard. The entire system is designed to hide the truth from these people, and it appears that an entire generation is going to require their entire financial well-being to be decimated, which is going to force them to look for sound money alternatives before they take the logical step towards sound wealth and capital preservation. Real money is gold and silver, period. Okay? That's it. We are out of time again. Yay. Not really, but that's me. You know it. I do it, and that's what it is. I will be gone for a while next week, unfortunately. But anyway, that's the end for today. So let me, a couple quick things, folks. Get yourself secure now, okay? Please, please, and please. Get yourself secure. It's very simple. It's money. It's true wealth. There's no risk involved. You don't have to worry about losing your money. It's never become worthless. Just let us build you a beautiful portfolio. We're very good at it. The values are cheap right now. The incredible good value. Incredibly good value. Phenomenally good value. Please get yourself transferred over while you can. It's coming. We're being deceived and distracted by the Trump phenomena, no doubt. But it's coming. So please, please prepare yourself, okay? I've got so much more information I wish I could have got into. You know, there's so much there. Folks, it's simple. 401ks IRAs, call us. We do them every day. Get it handled. Savings, call us. We get it handled. Get your phone, 444-0044. Call us. Let us hook you up. We will take care of you. We will build you the same portfolio I've built for my parents, my sister, my brother, my cousins, uncles, nephews, friends, folks, and they're all doing just fine, just well. And the value, terribly, terribly fair. Please prepare yourself now. Take the advantage. Out of time, Google review, give us a 5-star free silver dollar. Call, prove it. Time's up. Love you and take care. God bless. Bye-bye.